On our program today, we're going to visit with Boone Mayor Eli Steins. Thanks for coming back, Mayor.
Thank you for having me.
Here we are, getting close to the end of the year.
Yes.
Calendar year, counting down. And, frankly, let's just go to the council meeting from last night. It was pretty quick. I had the odds on it over and under 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was right about 20
right
minutes.
Right about 20 minutes. I know some thought we could be done in 15, but you got a few things you have to talk about.
Yep, absolutely.
Some of the first things that came up, and one of the first things actually was the request had actually come into the Public Safety and Transportation Committee about waiving the building fee.
Right.
Just a few months ago, you guys took action to do away with you had a resolution to always waive building fees for public projects.
Right.
But the council had concerns about the amounts of dollars that
you were actually spending
for projects.
Yes, we do have to put in the work for all of these projects, for inspections and things of that nature. And we surveyed other communities, what they do, and we kind of came to the understanding that most communities do charge the fees, but they have an appeal process for either an investment for the city on a particular project, they'll waive a certain proportion of the fees, or if there's just some agreement, the other entity gets something and the city gets something to offset the costs and things of that nature. So we had our first request for waiving the fees, and the committee, the Public Safety Committee, decided unanimously to waive those fees, came to council, due to the fact that this project was planned before that process started of undoing that policy.
They had not calculated that into their project. And again, we're talking about the new communication tower that's going to be constructed out here by the law enforcement center, which the upside for the city is you're going to get some stuff taken off your First Street water tower.
That's right. So. Yeah. So there's a bit of benefit for the city, and improved communications and things like that helps everybody. And just the timing of everything, the committee felt it was fair and just to waive those fees this time.
Yeah. It was not a unanimous vote, but the majority of the council was
correct.
Supportive.
When it came to council, it was not unanimous.
The other one that really has had a little bit of work going into it is, and this one's going to take a little, we're going to have more information coming out, I'm sure, as we go forward with it, but finding an administrator to work on community development block grants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've had some in the past. Utility committee actually went with this because the big projects that are coming up where you're going to be pursuing actual substantial community development block grants are in the utility area, water and wastewater.
That's right. So there were two bids that came in when they were scoring. Cimarron and Corey was the one that came in just a little bit below MIPA. We're part of that group. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of moving parts and the fee structures that they charged. At the end of the day, Cimarron and Corey was somebody we worked with before on these.
Oh, yeah.
So there's the benefit of, understanding our situation and things like that. And, they had a range rather than a flat amount, and it was a little bit lower than what MIPA would have been.
I would say, at least in the case of Cimarron and Corey, they have secured some quite a few grants for the city.
That's right. They've had success for us. So that's a good assurance as well. And the timeliness of the issue is important, too.
I think the big one here is people, they are going to be doing like a house-to-house survey kind of thing. And this is part of you got to do some of this, collect this information for your grant application. It's, again, all confidential stuff.
That's right.
Basically trying to find income levels and things like that to see if you're eligible.
Yes, they have to get on-the-ground data, and so they'll do all of that work, and so that's another benefit for the city as well.
So, anyway, that's going to be one of those. Yes, it's going to be coming up relatively soon, folks, mm-hmm. because these are projects you want to go ahead and get these applications in
absolutely.
Rather quickly.
Yep, absolutely, to secure those funds to get those projects moving.
One of them is going to be, we can go back and talk a little bit about the presentation that you and Councilmember Terry Mormon had, but I guess we'll just do that right now because one of the things you did talk about was the water, wastewater, and the projects that are planned, were being planned and worked on, and the ones that are kind of being driven by DAISY coming in. So, and You know, a lot of people think it's just Daisy. It's not.
No, not at all. Yeah, we've been working on this for several years. Back when I was on the utility committee, on a 20-year plan for our water and wastewater treatment facilities and infrastructure. And, you know, having Daisy come in, it was kind of the finishing touches on what those plans would be, because we know what amount of industrial use we're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And that usage will bring revenues to those systems, too, that all stay in the water and wastewater revenue streams to help fund that system. So it really is a benefit to the entire system. Yeah, on November 21st at 7 o'clock, we held a public forum information session. Councilman Moorman put together a slideshow of all of the things that have been happening over the past year, year and a half, housing, water, wastewater infrastructure, specifics on Daisy, events that are coming up, ways to get information and things like that. It was a pretty comprehensive presentation. Mm-hmm. We had quite a few people come, but we will have that presentation up on our website. If it's not there now, it'll be up there soon. There were a couple of typos that need to be fixed. but it was really comprehensive about where we started from and kind of where we're going and where we're at right now.
Yeah. I know on the water, wastewater parts of it, as you said, you were starting. I mean, the one that where we're pursuing a community development block grant is for the groundwater storage, which.
Yes. That was something that we've been working at for a long time.
About the last 10 years,
yes.
You've had people recommending you need to get that taken care of.
Yep, so. Absolutely. So that'll be one of the things that we'll get across the finish line with impetus from the Daisy development.
Yeah. And the other part is, people keep saying, thinking that your plants are new. Well, you know, you were talking about we were looking at growth over the next 20 years.
Yes. But that's
they
from 20 years in the past.
They are 25 years old, yes.
Yes, absolutely. And so this is just ongoing maintenance, upgrades for the future and things of that nature. So to make sure to increase the longevity of those plants as much as we can.
Sure. And I know people keep talking about, well, Daisy coming here, but your existing businesses, AgCertain, they were looking for capacity.
Yes.
You had others out there in the...
We've had a number of industrial developments look at our capacity, and they have to look very deeply on the wastewater side. What types of materials, what levels and things like that can be taken mm-hmm. in. And what pre-processing they would have to do and how much that would cost them. So making sure that capacity is there would be great for our industrial development overall.
Yeah. I think in the presentations that you did, housing was...
Housing has been huge.
I mean, that's been one of the big things. You knew you had some shortfalls. You knew half of your existing housing was 100 years old.
Exactly. The median household age, home age in Boone when that survey was done, 2023...
Yeah, I think
2023 was 100 years old exactly. Yeah. So that means half of the houses are over 100 years old, half are under 100 years old. And we have 350 housing units in the pipeline right now in various stages of development. And they are run the gamut of lower price point to higher price point. We saw in our housing needs assessment that those were actually the two areas. It's bifurcated. We needed more houses in the lower mm-hmm. price point and more in the higher price point. And so we're trying to tackle both of those simultaneously. In the middle, we're kind of good. We kind of are where we need to be statistically.
So keep looking at it, though.
Yeah, and as we have those in the pipeline, we will look at updating that survey when we know that those housing units have been accounted for. So we can see, well, what do we need to do now, right? Is mm-hmm. it all on the higher end? Or do we need any more on the lower end and things like that? Yeah. So we'll let the data guide us to what we want to develop.
And at the same time, we know you also are being contacted by other developers.
That's
talking
correct.
About different kinds of projects, not necessarily something that might fit in the middle as well.
So yeah, exactly.
Again,
yep.
You've got a lot of...
Yeah, we have a couple of demo and infill lots.
Yeah.
That's been something that will get rid of a house that's very old, not in great shape, but replace it with a house that is in that middle income bin. And you'll have that same house, but it'll be updated to the times and be more modern and things like that.
Yeah. I know one of the things from your public forum that was held, and again, one of the opportunities you were hoping for was to have some people come and maybe offer suggestions about...
Yep.
I'd like to see you focus a little more on this or
right.
do that. And again, we didn't have any in the public part of it,
no.
but I'm pretty sure people will contact their council members or get a hold of you and say, we need another street project.
The second half of the second half of that meeting was geared towards where do you as citizens feel that we need to go as a city government? What are your priorities? So you can still do that. We're in the budgeting session now. We will have goal setting tonight for a city council at the police department. It is a public meeting. There's no public input during that time. It's a work session. But that's at 6 p.m. tonight at the police department. And we plan to do this presentation every year. And so kind of mark that on your calendar in November before Thanksgiving. Update what's been happening over the past year. And then where do you think that we need to focus our efforts on the coming year when we go into that budgeting?
Yeah. Well, let's one of the other things that kind of came up last night was Waylon Andrews gave a little update on some of the sanitary sewer work that's been going on. Had pretty good luck with the contract. Well, had a contractor that was supposed to come in and do some manhole work. And for those that don't know, we've got a few brick manholes out there yet that have been concerns.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of those
that's manholes. The underground we can't see part.
Yep, that they need to be restored and repaired. And so he had a contractor lined up that backed out. And so they went ahead and did bids and got a contractor out of Cherokee. And Waylon couldn't say enough about how great this contractor did and his team on reconstructing these four manholes. And they're going to do 12 more manholes in the upcoming year, too, along with other sewer projects.
Does he's gone to trying to do a lot of lining of sewer lines.
Yes.
And we've seen that.
Increase the longevity of those lines.
We've got more companies that are doing it now, too. Makes it a little more competitive.
Yeah, more competitive, more favorable in price and things like that. And they get it down to a more swift science when they do it,
too.
They
can do it quickly. So, again, looking at doing some of those, and that actually preserves a lot of that. That's part of that. We call CMOM, which started quite a while ago. Again, that's to do your maintenance on the underground part.
Absolutely. The more that you can extend the longevity of what you already have, the less it's going to cost you in the future. So you don't have to do full replacements.
Still working on that. And I didn't. The one thing I haven't asked yet is the I&I work that was being done. They had the east side of the city. I know they did a lot of work over there. People always complaining about having to do get their sump pumps out and stuff like that. But it's been working.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we should get an update soon on what our water levels have been at the wastewater treatment facility to just kind of show the amount that we've saved for not having to treat all of that clear water. And of course, last summer we had quite a bit of rain and we had a dry fall and everything like that. Yeah. But there was rain there earlier in the season.
The challenges that go along with it. We do know that you've been going forward. I know Nick Osmondson, your rec director, he's starting to move forward with some projects and some planning, but securing some outside funding. He'll pursue some grants and see what can be done, but he's looking to start planning some outdoor activities.
Yeah, absolutely. So for this fall coming up, he's trying to get some startup funding from the Forest Board, and that's specifically for youth recreation. They provide funds for that at the county level. It's an independent board, and he's looking at establishing a youth flag football league and blast ball, which is something new to our community.
So, again, those are things that he is doing. And, again, he's just really getting started. He collected a lot of information for he's worked without a rec center before.
That's the majority of his time as a professional without a facility. And he's been working a lot with the school district as well and see how he could play a role in assisting them.
So we had a lot of appointments to boards and commissions. Yep. That's an annual thing.
Yeah, and these were, I think, all reappointments. So SERPTA, a lot of HERDA, Human Services Committee, E911, zoning, and things of that
nature. Arts Advisory Board.
Arts Advisory Board in there, too.
So one of the things that came up and did have a little discussion, it may be not an overly long meeting, but let's go with the licenses for Circle K. There is an issue on the north side,
the
300 block of Circle K, and basically you guys have supported staff in saying, you need to take care of this issue. They've got a a problem with their restrooms.
Inoperable restrooms, yeah. So they're new owners for both of the Circle Ks. And the north side Circle K, the restroom is inoperable. And city staff, a building official, has spoken with them and gave them and gotten assurances from them that as they take control of the building, they're going to do a full remodel on the bathroom first thing. And they have one bid already. They're waiting on another bid. And they've assured us that that is what they're going to tackle immediately as they get control of that building.
So that's been the big one, because basically it was, if it's not taken care of, we may not be giving you any permits.
That's right, yes. So the liquor and tobacco licenses were approved last night with the understanding that they would move expeditiously on that project.
All right, let's hit again a little bit about the council's work session meeting tonight, yeah. Again held down at the police department. So we've done these a number of years, and we've had some regular things as far as goals that have shown up. Nuisance abatement and demolition has been there for
demo,
a while.
BDIF, you know, those BDIF had been a goal every year. We'd say we're going to fund BDIF to a certain amount, and that was a goal to do that in budgetary terms. And nuisance abatement, demolitions has
been on
there as well.
Part of it was don't take any money away from that.
Right, exactly. And so those have been ongoing things. So those are goals that we have every single year, and we get updates on those from Administrator Scare. A couple of other goals from last, from this current fiscal year, actually. The Story Street reconstruction project, that was one that was completed. And then the new Christmas lights and decorations downtown and on Story Street, that was budgeted for and installed, so that's completed as well.
Okay.
And then we have another one, which was a review of all of our codes to make sure that they're up to modern standards,
sure.
especially in planning and zoning and the zoning codes and things like that, just to see if there's anything that's antiquated and needs to be fixed. And that's going to be a long slog, and it goes in sections. And so that's being worked on right now.
It's not one of those where it's not one of those early evening reading projects.
No, no. You've got to be first thing in the morning with a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
Or several. Some of the others have been some of the promotional things you guys have been doing.
Yes, we budgeted money for advertising in the past. That's been part of our goals. And so we'll see what ideas council has tonight, 6 p.m.
Yeah.
We'll have a discussion about what each member feels that needs to be accomplished, what they're hearing from their constituents, and then things that staff might have as recommendations as well from the different departments.
Sure. And I know one of the things that you don't like to have a super, like 10, 12 things.
Right. You can count them on your hand type of thing.
Yeah.
So these are larger items that can get updated on over time.
And something that you have a reasonable chance of accomplishing.
Absolutely. So. Yep. You want to make sure that if you set a goal, you're able to meet it or at least make substantive progress on it by the end of the fiscal year.
I think one of the others you had last time was sidewalks.
Sidewalks, again, funding the sidewalk.
We've got some funding that we do, but
absolutely.
Getting people to use it.
That's money that's still there. So please, if you have a sidewalk in the spring that needs to be installed or replaced, please go to the city website. You can get reimbursed 25% of the cost. So I can't emphasize enough, the walkability is very important for our citizens. So consider installing a sidewalk, and you can get some assistance with cost-wise with that.
Yeah.
So that's been a goal, and extending that to the downtown area was another one that we did, some policy changes. And one I had last year that's ongoing right now is the 10-year comprehensive plan for the Parks Department. And so they're doing an inventory of all of our parks, and they're ranking things 1 to 5. So 1 is the most critical need of repair or replacement, and 5 is basically brand new. And so at the end of the fiscal year, they'll be able to have a list and a database of all of their assets, and they'll be able to triage and find out what needs to be replaced now and what can wait.
It's kind of like when you do your CIP. For the city, actually, which some of the park stuff is in there, but this gives them
really granular.
Working,
this is a very granular thing.
Yeah, so it's not, people don't think they're not aware of it and doing that.
Yeah, so they're doing a great job getting through that inventory, and I think all that they have left is McCoe's Park, which is, it's all that you have left. But
it's a little big. Yeah. By the way, there's going to be some tree removal that's going on there on Park Avenue one of these days this week, I think, and we did get from Mike Cornelis, weather conditions were not conducive to
getting... A little disappointing news on the ice rink.
On the ice rink. They back in October, it was a little hard to get the boards in. So
yeah, the ground was just so hard and dry that we're not able to get that everything installed like it needed to be to have the ice rink, and unlikely to have it this winter season.
Sorry, folks, but yeah, that's an ongoing challenge for that too.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little bit this week. We're going to light the tree. We're going to have a parade. It might be a little chilly that night, but.
Yeah, probably a little warmer than it was yesterday. but yeah, so 5:30 is when the parade starts, and we're planning on 6:15 down at the green space for some caroling, for some treats. There'll be a hot cocoa there from the VFW, and then Santa and I will light the tree.
Right. We're gonna have.
Every time I drive by, Henry asks why the tree isn't lit up, and I said I haven't pushed the button yet. That's why.
That's while we kind of wait for this. So
yeah,
we do, and that's going to be going on. I know there's a lot of other things that'll be. I understand Chris Blocker had said like at least 19.
Looks like 19
for the parade.
Really great number of entries for the parade. So that's awesome.
Historical Center's got some soup that'll be available.
Yes, always the soup supper. They have a variety of different soups. $8 a bowl, I believe, and you get your money's worth.
Oh, yeah. Well, you might need it if it's a little chilly out.
Yeah, so we always stop down at the History Center, get some soup before the parade, and we're nice and warm inside while we're waiting for the parade.
And a lot of the businesses will be doing things as well, the shops on Story and stuff. So plan to take a little time and...
Yep.
Come on, dress appropriately for the weather.
Always.
And come on out for it, too.
So. Yep, absolutely.
I do appreciate you taking time to come and visit with us. Let us know what's going on. And once again, our next council meeting is coming up on the 16th.
On the 16th.
Got a couple of committee meetings that might be held here. I think Economic Development, actually.
Development today at the Livery, third floor.
Third floor. So something going on there.
There's a lot going on at the Livery. So if you haven't checked it out, please do so.
All right. Thanks for taking the time to come and visit with us today.
Thanks for having me.